Welcome to Vallejo's Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast on Pentecost Sunday, June 9th, 2019. Preaching today is Reverend Wendy Camori Stager. Her message is Pentecost. The New Testament lessons, Acts 2, verses 1 through 21, and Acts 2, verses 38 through 47.
The story of Acts 2 continues. Acts 2, verses 38 through 47. This also happens on the day of Pentecost. Peter said to them, "Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him." And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because of many wonders and signs that were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, they spent much time together in the temple. They broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please join me in a word of prayer. Holy Spirit, you are already here. You are already in this room, filling this space and filling our hearts and filling our lives. We ask that you would grant us your fresh wind and inspiring flame, that we might be your church alive in the world today. Send us your understanding of the first church, of your holy scriptures, that we might know what your Spirit is saying to our church today. Amen. Well, it's happy birthday, dear church. Birthdays are things that we all have in common. Every single one of us has a birthday, unless I'm wrong. No, I'm pretty sure everybody here has a birthday. And I'm guessing almost every single one of us has celebrated a birthday, either yourself or somebody in your family. And different families have their different traditions. Maybe you all go out to a meal together, and the wait staff gathers around, and they sing, sometimes off-key, to you, really publicly. It's very traditional in the United States to have a cake with candles, right? And you make a wish, and you blow them out. In Mexico, sometimes you hover over the cake, and then they hit the back of your head, and your face hits the cake. But it's the tradition, right? Or you have a piñata instead of a cake, right? Some birthdays we kind of mark as being special, all those decade birthdays, you know? Turning 40 is somehow different than turning 38. We have Sweet 16 and celebrate that milestone. And then there's all those childhood birthday parties. Maybe you've been to these, or you've thrown these, or you've been to the grandparents. And it's always got a theme. It has to have a theme, whether it's Paw Patrol, Raggedy Ann, Pokemon, Star Wars, right? And the cake is shaped that way, and there's just a special festivity. But it made me wonder, it's so common, why? Oh, well, before I get to that, so I want you to turn and talk to somebody who didn't come in the same car that you talked to, and go ahead and share just, you know, no more than a minute for each person. Share about a birthday experience of 2-1. Come on back. You can keep talking to each other maybe at fellowship time, because it's something, wait, can you hear the energy in the room? I see smiles on people's faces. Birthdays are these times to celebrate. It's so common, though. Do you ever stop to wonder, wait, why do we do this? Why do we celebrate birthdays? In some ways, it's so obvious that we pass by it. Birthdays are one of those everyday rituals, and what it does is it prevents us from just passing by and missing life. Instead, it makes a marker that says, wait, what's going on right now? The Holodappy, isn't that, the Holodappy blog had their top five, you know, there's always a list, there's top five reasons to celebrate birthdays. One, your birth marks the beginning. It is a momentous occasion. Two, celebrating your birthday is an expression of thanks. Three, marking a birthday is a time to reflect on the past, evaluate the present, and make plans for the future. You go, huh, I'm turning 47. Where have I been? Where am I going? Five, we celebrate birthdays to acknowledge you're alive, your existence on earth. And five, we celebrate birthdays and you bond and you share that day with people that we love. A birthday is significant in that it symbolizes life. It signifies the day we came to life and became a part of this world. It signifies another year of ups and downs behind us. And it's about celebrating being human, a milestone in which we can share in. So Pentecost, today is the day when we, the church, and I mean not just Community Presbyterian Church and not just the Presbyterian Church USA, but the church, all who follow Jesus all around the world, celebrates the birthday of the church. Thank you, Bob, for reading all the names part of that story. I knew that Bob wouldn't be too intimidated by that one. Right? It's the story we read every Pentecost when the disciples are gathered in a room and there's all this energy, this rush of wind comes in, and then these flames, these tongues of flames descend and sit on the top of people's heads, and then there's this babble and cacophony as the people began to speak in languages that they didn't know. It was a weird day. It was so weird that the people around them went, they're on something over there. We're going to scoot over here and let them be weird over there. But Peter said, no, they're not drunk. They're not high, right? They're filled with the Holy Spirit. That this is the day that God had declared, I'm going to pour this Holy Spirit out upon these people and then together create them into being a church. Because after there was that outpouring of the Holy Spirit and Peter preached, the church began. Did you catch this in that second reading? People were in the temple together. They were breaking bread. They were eating their meals together. And awe came upon everyone. And they were glad and generous and praising God. And then people just flocked to them. It was like the megachurch, right? Somebody else just like popped in the door. Hey, can I be a part of this? Right? It was this new and exciting beginning. But I gotta say, here's the real deal. That Acts community, as we're reading about, where everybody shared generously and all sat down, that lasted maybe 4 to 5 years. this Acts as itself, as we've looked at the rest of this book, tells how the church keeps growing up. And as it passes from that infancy, that innocence, into adolescence, the church's life gets messier. All that idealism of a generous, sharing community got blown to bits by about chapter 5. Here, a couple who was part of the community named Ananias and Sapphira sell some property, but they don't share it. They withhold it, and there are severe consequences. They die, by the way. And the church, as it grows in its adolescence, it's still wrestling with its identity. It doesn't even know what to call itself. They're still like, we're Jews, we just follow Jesus. It's not until Acts chapter 17 that this group of people who follow Jesus were first called Christians. And then there are the painful breakups that happen later in Acts. Paul and Silas want to head towards Syria. And Barnabas too, but Barnabas says, hey, we should bring Mark along. Paul's like, no, we don't want to bring Mark along. We want to bring Silas along. Barnabas is like, no, Mark's got to come. Paul and Barnabas have such a big fight, their disagreement became so sharp. Right? This is the Bible nice speak for they had a big old knockdown, drag-out fight and went separate ways to spread the gospel. And in some places, right, at the beginning in Acts, you just open the doors and people streamed in. But at other places, Paul would preach the message, Peter would preach the message, and people would just sort of scratch their heads and go, yeah, we'll think about that. And at the end of Acts, Paul is imprisoned, and he's in Rome. So while some churches go, oh, yeah, Acts 2, that's the original church. We just need to go back to that. I think that's like trying to put you back into the womb or to say, we should just be like how we were when we were 1 year old. But here's the deal about the church. It keeps growing and changing. Even past biblical, remember some of your church history? The church became, Christianity became the religion of the empire under Emperor Constantine. Changed the whole understanding of how many people knew about who Jesus was and if it was okay to be worshiping publicly. The church underwent changes and schisms. Do we have icons? Or is that a false idol and an image? The Orthodox Church went one way, the Catholic Church went the other way. Then there's this little thing called the Reformation, where people were protesting that, this isn't quite, I think, how God is at work in the world. And you get the protesters, otherwise known as the Protestants, of which we're a part of that tradition, saying, what does it make sense? We can now read the Bible. Gutenberg's printing press. We have new technology. Well, should only the priests read the Bible, or should everybody be able to read the Bible? And it makes me notice in all of this, right? The church is not static. We are all not still in Jerusalem praying and breaking bread, and people just flock in the doors. Right? We're not the same church as we were at our infancy. There's been growth and development. There's adaptation to new environments. And this is because the church, as we already sang today, the church is not the building. Right? The church is made up of the people of God. All who follow Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, tended by the love of God, and united in this. Because we are the people of God, it will look different from infancy to adolescence to young adulthood to elderhood. And I don't claim to know what life stage the church as a whole is at in this time. But I do know that God isn't done with us yet. It may not look the same way it looked 2,000 years ago, and that's okay, because it won't look the same 2,000 years since. Because the church is alive, and we are alive, and alive in the Spirit. We put these up again. I don't know if you were around last summer. Every single one of these ribbons was tied by a person whose efforts and hands and volunteerism and participation is part of this church. All of those got done by living hands. And so we are celebrating a birthday today. The birthday as a church. And so I think about those top five reasons for celebrating birthdays are really our same two top five reasons for celebrating Pentecost. We celebrate the birthday of the church. We remember the beginning. That celebrating Pentecost is an expression of gratitude and thanks. We're grateful that we can be a church together. We're grateful for the Holy Spirit in our midst and alive. We celebrate Pentecost because it is indeed a time to reflect on the past, to evaluate who and where we are this day and this time, and to make plans for the future. And it's acknowledging that the church is alive, our existence on earth. And it's the chance to celebrate together, to bond with people, to share with loved ones. And so we do celebrate this day, the birthday of the church. Happy birthday, dear church. I invite you to rise and let us sing more of the Spirit in our midst.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California, or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.